you have your Bibles, if you would, turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 11. The book of Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll read one verse of Scripture, verse number 4. I've been bringing a series of messages there at Coweta Baptist Church on the subject of faith, and been dealing with it from the chapter of Hebrews, chapter 11. We'll look at verse number 4, dealing with the subject of Abel. And the title of the message this morning is When a Dead Man Speaks. When a Dead Man Speaks. In Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, the Bible says, By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. Hebrews chapter 11 has been given many titles and names by students of Scripture over the years. It's been called the faith chapter. It's been called the heroes of the faith, the honor roll of Old Testament saints, God's hall of fame. But whatever name or title you would choose to give it, there can be no denial that you will not find a more thorough examination and illustration in all of Scripture on the subject of faith. The names of people that are listed here in Hebrews chapter 11 are singled out primarily for one reason, their faith. A faith by which they were able to change the world around them. A famous commentator of years gone by wrote and said these words that the Apostle Paul gives, and I quote, A great variety of instances from the history of former ages in which faith had enabled individuals to perform very difficult duties, endure very severe trials, and obtain very important blessings. One of the interesting things about the people listed in Hebrews chapter 11 is the fact that they were ordinary people who were greatly used by God to illustrate and to exemplify what it means to live by faith. The lives of these people reveals the truth that God's Word here was not only believed and accepted as truth, but that it was also acted upon. Now, the first person that's listed here in what might we will refer to God's Hall of Faith is a man by the name of Abel. Abel, of course, was the second person ever born into this world. He was the second son born to Adam and Eve, with Cain being the first. And since Hebrews chapter 11 is about the subject of faith, I believe it should be understood that it is about faith which Abel speaks to us today. His life teaches us something about the life of faith. Abel, as it were, we might say, was the first man of faith, and it's important to realize that his faith had to do even with his own personal salvation. Abel's life reveals to us, I believe, the undeniable truth, as it is found in Scripture, not once, not twice, but three times. You'll see this particular phrase in your Bible. The book of Habakkuk chapter 2 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1 and verse 17. And Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. Where the Scripture plainly says, The just shall live by faith. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4. Takes us back to the story of Cain and Abel and the offerings that they presented to God. And so if you would, just for a moment, if you would, turn with me, please, back to Genesis chapter 4. And I would like to call your attention to a few verses of Scripture and getting an understanding of what Hebrews 11 and verse 4 is talking about. But in the book of Genesis chapter 4, we'd like to begin reading with verse number 3. Verse number 2 tells us that Abel ended up being a shepherd, and his brother Cain ended up being a farmer. There's nothing wrong with either one of those things, but here the Bible says, beginning with verse 3 of Genesis chapter 4, it says, "And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought of the fruit of the ground an offering unto the Lord. And Abel, he also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had not respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art thou wroth? Why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted. And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door. And unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother. And it came to pass, when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother, and slew him." Now from this account, there are several things I'd like for us to consider this morning. First of all, I believe there was a particular time, a particular place to worship. I believe from what is revealed in this passage, there seems to have been a regular time, a regular place at which men were allowed to meet with God. Both Cain and Abel brought their offerings, I believe, at the same time and to the same place. Second of all, it's to be believed that God had designated a specific way to worship Him. You go back to chapter 3 of Genesis and verse 21, when the Lord God provided coats of skin to cover the nakedness of Adam and Eve. I believe that He revealed there the necessity of a substitutionary sacrifice and the shedding of blood as the only way of approaching Him in worship. Those who worship God in this manner acknowledged their own guilt and their helplessness, as well as their trust in God alone for complete salvation. Quoting from A.W. Pink, he said that what God did for Adam and Eve here taught them four critical things. Number one, he said, in order for a sinner to stand before a holy God, he must have a covering. Number two, if this covering was man-made, it was worthless. Number three, only God Himself could provide the necessary covering. And number four, the necessary covering could only be obtained by death, the shedding of blood. It is to believe that these divine truths were passed on by Adam and Eve to their two sons as they were growing up. I believe they were instructed about the need to worship God and that the only acceptable means of worship was through a blood sacrifice. Both Cain and Abel were born into this world the same way, and that is as lost sinners. They both needed God's righteousness. They both needed God's forgiveness. They both needed God's deliverance from His judgment upon their sin. Well, when you come to Hebrews chapter 11, we're told in verse number 4 that it says that Abel, by faith, offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than his brother did. I find it interesting, Romans 10:17 reminds us that faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And based upon that Scripture, I believe it stands to reason that God had revealed His will, God had revealed His Word, God had revealed His way of spiritual worship. And I believe that Abel believed that revelation and that he acted accordingly. True faith, you beloved, must have a foundation to rest upon, and that foundation must be the Word of Him that cannot lie. God speaks and the heart receives and acts upon what He says. And by faith, I believe it says, Abel offered to God an excellent sacrifice. Here is where the life of faith begins. It begins with a sacrifice for sin. It begins with believing God that we are sinners. It begins by believing God that we are worthy of death. It begins with believing God that we need God's forgiveness and that we must accept His revealed plan for our deliverance. That is the beginning of the life of faith. And it was in such faith, I believe, that Abel presented his sacrifice to God. And it was because of such faith that his sacrifice was acceptable to God. I believe that his sacrifice was, in fact, the perfect illustration of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ on Mount Calvary. When Abel did what God had required, he revealed his obedient faith and he acknowledged his own sinfulness. Cain, on the other hand, I believe rebelled against God's Word. And I believe in a spirit of religious pride, he brought unto God the fruits of his own labors. He brought unto God the very work of his hands. The Bible says that Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain because God had required a blood sacrifice. Each man brought an offering to God. Abel brought an offering from his flocks. Mr. Cain brought an offering from his fields. And the difference between the two brothers is that Abel gave what God required, whereas Cain gave what he wanted to give. He gave what he himself wanted to give. Abel was obedient to God's Word, but Cain decided to go his own way and to do his own thing. Abel acknowledged his sin. I don't believe Cain did. And from God's divine point of view, Abel came to God through the shedding of blood, but Cain attempted to come through the works of his own hands. Cain devised his own way and method for approaching God, and it was rejected. And there's no doubt that Cain, I believe, had the same knowledge of God's requirements that Abel had. But you see, Cain decided to worship in his own way. He decided he would do what he thought was best. He decided that he would do his own thing. And in essence, he was basically denying even his own sin. And there's no question that Cain believed in God. And I believe that Cain was even convinced that he owed God some kind of worship. He believed in God, yes, that he believed that God existed, but he didn't believe God. And there's a difference in believing in God and believing God. You see, Cain thought that he could approach God in whatever way that he wanted. And he expected God to be satisfied with that. And by doing what he did, I believe Cain became the father of all false religion. And you say, well, what is false religion? Well, I believe false religion is trying to come to God by any other way than the way that God has prescribed for us in His Word. False religion is any way to God that God Himself has not ordained. And guess what? Man has not changed even to this very day of 2021. The Bible says in Proverbs chapter 14 and verse 12, yes, there is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the Bible says the end thereof are the ways of death. There are many today who are convinced, like Mr. Cain was, that all roads lead to heaven. Beloved, that's not what the Bible teaches. Jesus Himself said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by Me. John 14 and 6. The Apostle Peter was in total agreement with the Lord Jesus. When Peter said in Acts chapter 4 and verse 12, neither is there salvation in any other. For there is none other name, he said, under heaven given among men, whereby we must be saved. Jesus also said in Matthew chapter 7, there's not two ways, there's not two roads, there's not two gates. Jesus said in Matthew 7 and verse 13, enter ye in, He said, at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereout, because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Mr. Cain failed to acknowledge, I believe, his own sinfulness. He refused to obey God by bringing the sacrifice that God had required. Now, he didn't mind worshiping God. He didn't mind worshiping God as long as it was His own terms, in His own way. And God rejected His sacrifice, and I might add, God rejected Him. Cain's offering unto God was simply a religious activity, as it were. We might say to suit his own purposes and to fulfill his own will. Cain fits the description, I believe, of those that we are warned about in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. Talks about those who have a form of godliness but deny the power thereof. Mr. Cain is like those that are referred to in Titus chapter 1. In verse number 16, where it talks about there are those who profess that they know God, but in works they deny Him, being an abominable and disobedient. And then we are told, if you have any questions about all of this, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 12, we are specifically told there in that passage of Scripture that Cain was in fact a child of the devil. That's what it says. He was a child of the devil, explaining that his works were evil and that his brother's works were righteous. You see, Cain practiced a false righteousness of the flesh instead of the righteousness of God, which is by faith, which can only be found in God's Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. The little book of Jude, in verse number 11, it talks about and it warns us about what he refers to as the way of Cain. The way of Cain. Now, I'm not sure I understand everything that's meant by that, but I believe that he's talking about the way of self-will, the way of unbelief, the way of disobedience, the way of religious hypocrisy. Cain practiced a religion that depended upon the good works of man, which leads to hell. Abel lived a life of faith that depended upon the redeeming work of Jesus Christ, which leads to heaven. Now back in our text in Hebrews chapter 11, in verse number 4, it says that Abel offered a more excellent sacrifice. The word excellent there means superior in quality. Genesis chapter 4 that we read a moment ago, in verse number 4, it says that the Lord God had respect unto Abel and to his offering. And that word respect there means to look upon, to take in regard, to consider. And Abel offered a better sacrifice because it represented the obedience of faith. He willingly brought to God what God had required, and he brought the very best that he had. The Scripture says in Genesis 4 that he brought the firstlings of his flock. Abel's sacrifice, I believe, beloved, was a picture. It was a type of the Lamb of God who would one day come to this earth. And just as John chapter 1 and verse 29 declares, he came to take away the sin of the world. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 12 emphasizes the fact that it's by Christ's own blood that he obtained eternal redemption for us. In 1 Peter chapter 1, in verse 18 and 19, we are told that we were redeemed, Peter says, with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. According to 1 John chapter 1 and verse 7, it is the blood of Jesus Christ, it says, that cleanseth us from all sin. Abel's offering was a blood sacrifice. Yes, it was a more excellent sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 4 says that Abel obtained witness from God that he was righteous, that he had a right standing before God, that he was declared innocent, we might say. Romans chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Blessed is the man to whom the Lord will not impute sin." Beloved, that doesn't mean that God overlooks your sin. It simply means that in the context of justification, that God's law has no charge to bring against you. And the Bible says, and one of the commentators of long ago said that God, and I think this is true, and I believe it's a good point, that God did not leave Abel in a state of uncertainty, ignorant as to whether or not his offering was approved. The Lord was pleased to assure Abel that the sacrifice had been accepted and that he was counted as just, as righteous before Him. Beloved, to be made right with God means that you're no longer under His condemnation. And as far as guilt and as punishment is concerned, the man who has a right standing with God is considered and is looked upon as if he had never sinned. This right standing before God is referred to in the Bible as justification. Justification is that part of salvation which consists of deliverance from the guilt and the punishment of our sin. It is the doctrine of justification, beloved, that keeps us safe from the wrath of God and of eternal punishment. According to Romans 8:33, the Bible says that God is the author of justification. No one can justify himself before God. Man has nothing to do with his justification except to receive it through faith that the Spirit of God enables man to exercise. It is God Himself who must pronounce the acquittal, beloved, or else we all stand condemned before Him and His righteous law. Romans 3:24 declares that we are justified freely by God's grace. And that's a tremendous word in your Bible. That word freely is a tremendous word. That means that God does so without any cause or reason in the sinner. We are justified without anything being done on our part to merit it or to deserve it. There is nothing in any sinner to cause God to justify him. Beloved, the cause is in God Himself. And so it's not the good in the sinner, but it's the grace of God that moves him to justify. Romans, according to Romans 3:28, and other places, a sinner can never be justified by works, but only by faith. Man must give up all dependence upon his works and cast himself unreservedly upon the very mercy and grace of God in Jesus Christ for his salvation. And according to Romans 3:25, it is faith in the blood of Jesus Christ that delivers the sinner from God's divine justice and puts him in a right relationship with Almighty God. And so when we think about that, Abel, the Bible says Abel was made right before a holy God because his faith was in the blood sacrifice that represented what Christ would one day accomplish on the cross of Calvary. Abel was accounted as righteous because he trusted God. He stood righteous before God because he had faith in God. He had God's approval. He had God's acceptance. He had the perfect righteousness, I believe, of Jesus Christ credited to his account. We have no record, and I find this very interesting, but we have no record in Scripture where Abel is quoted as saying anything. You ever thought about that? He's never quoted. There's nothing there in the Scripture that says that he says anything, but yet when you read Hebrews 11, in verse number 4 says, He's speaking to us. He's talking to us. It says this, by He being dead, yet speaketh. I titled the message, When a Dead Man Speaks. Now, if you've heard a dead person speak, I'm telling you, you've had too much pepperoni pizza. But here, scripturally, spiritually speaking, this phrase, He being dead yet speaketh, I believe that could have been even a reference to what God said to Cain after he murdered his brother. And the Lord is quoted as saying in Genesis chapter 4, in verse number 10, He comes to Cain and He said unto him, What hast thou done? And then He said this, He said, The voice of thy brother's blood crieth unto me from the ground. I believe the testimony of Abel's faith speaks to our generation today. He's still talking to us. He's still talking to us. He's declaring the irrevocable truth that the only way that a sinner can ever be made right with God, it's through faith in the shed blood of Jesus Christ. Man's religious efforts throughout history have been the works of Mr. Cain. But the Bible teaches that sinners must come to God by faith, empty-handed of their own self-righteousness, and fully trust in Jesus Christ and His work of redemption as their only hope of eternal salvation. The faith of Abel speaks to us, I believe, even the teaching that is found in Ephesians chapter 2 in verse number 8 and 9. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Beloved, the issue is not what we have done for God. The issue is whether or not we are trusting in what God has done for us. He being dead, yet speaketh. Abel's been dead for a long time, but he still speaks to us today. I believe that his life and testimony tells us that the only way a sinful man can have a right relationship with a holy God is by faith, trusting in a blood sacrifice. And beloved, that blood sacrifice was none other than the Lord Jesus Christ giving Himself on the cross of Calvary as the perfect, all-sufficient sacrifice through the shedding of His precious, sinless blood. A man by the name of E.A. Hoffman. E.A. Hoffman was a preacher, but he was also a prolific songwriter. He wrote over 2,000 songs. Mr. Hoffman graduated from Union Seminary in Pennsylvania, and he was ordained to the gospel ministry in the year of 1868. Well, 10 years later, in 1878, he wrote a wonderful hymn, a hymn that starts out with a series of questions. And you've heard this hymn before, and you've probably sang it in this church many times, but it starts out like this. Have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? The question is, beloved, are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? If there's one here today that does not know Christ in the free pardon of sin, may it be that God in His grace would give you hearing ears and that you will listen to what a dead man is saying to us this morning. Look to Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, as your only help and as your only hope of eternal salvation. Let us pray. Father, we bow before You this morning. We look at this passage of Scripture, and Lord, there's so much there that could be said, and Lord, so much there that we can learn from. And God, I pray that by Your Spirit that You would teach us Your Word. And Lord, we thank You for the testimony that is revealed in Scripture about the life of Abel. And Lord, we pray that if there's one here today that's lost in their sins without Christ, I pray that today would be the day of their salvation, Lord, that they would look to You. They would trust You as their only hope of eternal salvation. We just give You the glory and the praise for it all, for it's in Jesus' name we ask it. Amen.